This is the Chancellor's Program. At his homegoing in November 1997, Dr. Bob Jones Jr. left a legacy of lifelong ministry to students as Chancellor and former President of Bob Jones University. He also left a wealth of recorded sermons, which we now present on the Chancellor's Program. Today we bring you a message titled, Our Lord and the Lepers, Obedience Brings the Blessing. It's based on the incident found in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 18. This message was delivered during a daily chapel service, May 9, 1960.
You know, the thing I was thinking about this morning, our Lord and the lepers. You find the story there in the Gospel of Luke. You remember there came to him 10 lepers standing afar off and crying, Lord, cleanse us. And the Lord said to them, you go and show yourself to the priest. And the scripture says, as they went, they were healed. And one comes back, who's a Samaritan, a foreigner, not a good Jew, kneels at the feet of the Lord and thanks him. And the Lord says, all right, now where are the other nine? Let's look at that story a minute. We use it quite often as a sermon on ingratitude, and it is. Out of 10 people, only one comes back. I heard a man on this trip tell an experience that a friend of his who was a college president had. He said once a woman came up who'd had two daughters graduate, and she spoke to the president at commencement and said how much she appreciated what he'd done for the children. And the man's eyes filled up with tears. He says, you know, I've been president of this school 20 years, and nobody ever told me a thing like that before, that they were grateful. I can't imagine a story like that being so. I think that fellow just felt sorry for himself that day. We've got in the Lord's work, a wonderful privilege of meeting a lot of people who are appreciative. But there are some people that are not. But that's not the thing I want to talk to you about this morning. I want to show you how obedience brings the blessing. We talk so much about faith bringing blessing. Well, if there had been no faith, there would have been no obedience. Now, there was no doubt in the minds of these men that they could be healed of the Lord. They had perfect faith. They had the kind of faith that was so unreasoning that they didn't stop to analyze. They just took it. I wonder, there's a story earlier in the Gospel of Luke where our Lord healed a leper. Very sweet, one of the sweet stories of the Gospels. And I wonder if maybe this leper hadn't told his friends about it, or if he hadn't felt some kind of a burden to bring them. It may be. Maybe the rumor had gotten around. But there's no doubt in their minds that Jesus Christ could heal them. Faith is there. Plenty of faith. But the faith didn't heal them by itself. You know what James says? Faith without works is dead. People love to try to find some conflicts in the Word of God. They try to say that James is in disagreement with St. Paul. That's not true. You can have faith that's dead. It may be saving faith, but it's still dead. You can be alive and still be asleep. Wake thou that sleepest and rise from the dead. You can wake up and not get up, or you can get up and not wake up. That's the way most of you come to breakfast. You're up, but you're not awake. You can have faith that saves you, but it can still be dead faith. That is, it's faith that is not reproducing itself or bringing any fruit to bear. That's what dead faith is. We think of dead faith as being faith in something that's wrong. No. Saving faith can be dead in the sense that it has absolutely just ceased to blossom and ceased to bloom and ceased to bring any results. And that kind of faith, that dead faith, is a terrible thing for a man to possess. Better than no faith at all. But as far as having any influence in the world round about him, it doesn't have. Now, the kind of faith we have this day is a lot of this sort of vague kind of dead faith. There are a lot of saved people. You ask them if they love the Lord, they'll say, oh, yes, I love Him, dear sweet Jesus. They talk in sentimental terms. They love to talk about our blessed Savior and our blessed Lord, and I like to hear Him honored in that way. But the very phraseology is a sentimental phraseology. It's not the vigorous, strong phraseology of the apostle who describes Him as our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the blessed Lord. He's the altogether lovely one. I love to pay Him the tribute of praise and all the fine language of the world. But there's a lot of a sentimentality that says, yes, I believe, But that's as far as it goes. Now, these lepers, every one of them, were perfectly confident they could be healed. No doubt in their minds. But their faith didn't bring them healing until they coupled it to works. The blessing came when they proved their faith by their action. Go and show yourself to the priest. Let's see what their reaction to that command might have been. In the first place, that command was a rather silly command to judge from the standpoint of man. Now, I use that term advisedly. Any man who knew anything about leprosy and who knew the Jewish law was that when a leper was healed, before he could be readmitted to the community and his quarantine taken away, before he could leave the tombs and the wilderness and come back and dwell in a house in the town, he had to have the priest certify that he was clean. That was a matter of health inspection. That was taking down the quarantine off the dole. It was letting him off of Ellis Island and back into the civilization again. Now, to say to go and show yourself to the priest when you were all leprous was a silly thing from a human standpoint. Do you know the natural man receiveth not the things of God? They are foolishness to him. When man tries to analyze God's commands, they are always foolish because he's a fool. There's a preacher that writes me. I don't know if he's a preacher or not. Preacher got me into the correspondence. But there's a fellow that writes me trying to bait me with his infidelity. He wrote somebody and sent me a copy of the letter in which he said, I obviously did not believe that the Bible was all the equal revelation, the will and purpose of God, because I wouldn't argue with him and try to reconcile certain passages in the Old Testament with certain passages of the New. Well, I could reconcile those passages. In the first place, there's nothing to reconcile. There's no conflict between any passage in the Old Testament and any passage in the New. The God of the Old Testament is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He and the Father are one. The man's an ignoramus. He's one of those who, professing himself to be wise, has become a fool. He doesn't even know the language of Scripture. He says, here's a man that offers his daughters to the mob to be assaulted. And then the Bible calls him righteous Lot. Well, anybody that knows anything about spiritual matters knows that Lot was not righteous except by the wonderful grace of God that he had imputed righteousness. That he was a righteous man in the sense that he looked to God for forgiveness and his salvation was taken care of by the righteousness of God imputed to him, just like David was taken care of. David was a sinner too. But the man doesn't want the truth. If he did, all he'd have to do is to go to the record and learn what all the men have said who've answered that since the days of other infidels, Bob Ingersoll and all the rest. I said to him in the letter, I said, I'm not going to argue with you. You are like the man described in the Old Testament, Job, who charges God foolishly. You know that character in the Scripture? Charge God foolishly. The trouble is, he's a fool. And he thinks he set himself up to attack Almighty God. And the God who sits in heaven has them in derision. Now, any man who tries to analyze God's commands from the line of pure human intelligence will many times think they are foolish. They are foolishness to him, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually deserved. To take a man with leprosy and go to show him to be certified for cleansing was really, from a human standpoint, the height of fun. But these men had enough faith that that didn't bother them. But they could have said, well, you know, don't you think the priest might catch our leprosy? Don't you think we ought to maybe talk this over? Did we understand you right? Surely you don't mean you want us to go like this. Why, we couldn't even go into the outer court of the temple like this. They could have been every sort of answer they could have brought, and they would have all been highly logical. Now, young people, here's a good rule for you to remember in life. If there's no sense in it, God's not in it. The founders told you that. If a thing is spiritual, it's logical. But it takes a spiritual mind to understand the logic. You cannot, from a purely human standpoint, try to set your mind in judgment of Almighty God and come to a conclusion. God has not given you the authority or the intelligence to judge His Word. All you're going to do is to accept and obey the Word. And as you obey the Word, you'll find the command proves itself to be the command of God. As they went, they were healed. All their faith did them no good at all until they put obedience to work for faith. When God tells you something, you can say, I believe, I believe, I believe. But you only believe to the extent of dead faith until your works indicate your belief. The Lord makes obedience not only essential to blessing, it's essential to discipleship, it's essential to friendship, and it's essential to reward. God gives us our salvation free, but every bit of our reward as a Christian comes upon our obedience to Him. You read what the Bible has to say about, you're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. A man's rewarded according to his obedience, and faith until it takes the feet of obedience and goes out to do what God commands is the kind of faith that may get a fellow to heaven. But it would have gotten these lepers into a leper's grave. They'd never have been anything but lepers if they hadn't set out immediately, without argument, without question. Any obedience that's a questioning obedience is not the right kind of obedience. Don't you ever sit back and say to God, why do you tell me so-and-so in the Word? There's a good reason for it. I'll tell you one thing. If you do what the Word commands you, you'll find out either here or hereafter why the Word commanded it. And I believe if you obey God, you'll find out in the book right now as you obey why God made the command. Now, he was testing them, but he was proving that God's blessing doesn't depend upon any kind of a rigmarole. If he had laid hands on them and made passages, he made mud out of spit once for a man's eyes. He could have done something like that. But he was showing to these lepers that their cleansing and their healing was purely an act of divine grace and divine power, and it didn't depend upon any kind of a magical formula. The Lord deals with leprosy in a sense in a different way than he deals with blindness. You remember that blindness is the type of sin, but leprosy is the very symbol of sin in the Bible. And this corruption was healed in obedience to the Word of God. Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. He proved his faith by going out. He didn't have as much as these boys did. He stopped at Paddan Aram for a while, lingered along till Papa died, and then he went on. These boys went right away, and as they went, they were healed. When God tells you to do something, when the Word is clear, don't stop to analyze and set your mind. That's what these boys do that say, well, after all, you know, I believe we can accomplish some good. I know the Bible says so-and-so, but let us not be too eager to do it. The Lord describes those folks as slow in heart. The trouble is, their legs could move if they wanted to. It's their heart that's slow. Now, these lepers moved fast because their hearts were eager. Their faith was so sure that they set out to run on old stubs, and maybe one had a crutch. Foot was all eaten away. Some were maimed, and there was the stench of corruption from their bodies. Terrible sight, leprosy. I don't know whether you've ever seen a leper or not. There's nothing more pathetic than a leper in his advanced stages. All swollen, misshapen, stubs and nubs. The only thing about that disease that's any kind of a blessing at all is that it becomes painless after a while. The people sometimes discover they have leprosy because they'll put their hand on a hot stove and it won't feel any burn, or they'll stick it or something, and they'll suddenly realize that the sense of touch is gone. That's the first way it begins to go. The nerves go first, which is a blessing. There's a numbness. I suppose in the advanced stages it becomes really painful when it gets on toward death, but just the revulsion against the disease, the psychological suffering, is a terrible thing, and there's nothing worse. Separates families. Mothers have to be taken from their children. Now, these poor lepers, in all that, had more faith than a lot of people today who say, well, I want to analyze this, and it doesn't seem to me it's logical. And it doesn't strike me that the Lord knows quite what he's doing here. Oh, I call him Lord, Lord. He says, why call ye me Lord, Lord? And do not those things which I command you. They stood afar off and said, Lord, Lord, heal us. All right, go show yourself to the priest. That very cry of Lord indicated their sense, their recognition of his authority. All right, then do what he tells you. Maybe we've got some student here who's still in argument with God about God's will for your life. You know beyond a shadow of a doubt what the Lord wants you to do. You've been feeling the leading. You've been trying to pull back and say to yourself, well, maybe I'm mistaken about this. Maybe this isn't what the Lord. If you can get away from the feeling that you may be called to preach, I think you are called to preach. If you can't get away from the feeling that maybe God wants you as a missionary, the chances are God does want you as a missionary. I challenge you to put this before God. Lord, you know, I think perhaps I'm being called to such and such a thing. Now, Lord, I want to put this. You're not seeking for a sign now for some supernatural thing. This is not an unscriptural method. You are to try to seek the will of God to do it. God will answer an honest heart. You say, Lord, I want you to show me either definitely that this is the thing, or I want to know definitely that it's not. But, Lord, whichever you show me, I'll do and do gladly. Now, if you want me to be a missionary, let me feel this impression in my heart still. If you don't want me to be a missionary, Lord, take away the impression. But whatever you want is what I want. If you'll make that surrender to God, you'll have the answer. You don't have to worry. How can I find God's will for my life? Simply do what God tells you to do. And if any man wants to do the will of God, he'll know the doctrine. He'll be instructed. He'll be led in the way. I being in the way, the Lord led me. And they went, and they were healed. I'm sorry the story, wonderful as it is, has to be spoiled by the fact that 9 of them don't even come back to say thank you. They called him Lord, and they were willing to obey when they were in trouble. But when they got out of trouble, they forgot to be thankful. You have here first the example of faith with obedience. And then comes blessing. You have faith with obedience bringing blessing. And you have the blessing not producing the sense of thanksgiving. I wonder which of those lepers it was who came back, being a Samaritan. Why, I mean? Out of the 10, why did it happen that it was this one who came back? I don't believe he was any further along with leprosy than the others. I don't know why. Maybe the others were so eager to get back to their family and friends, they intended to come later. But don't put off your thanksgiving until after you've done something else. It may be that this fella had no relatives nearby and didn't have anywhere to go. Maybe being a stranger, he felt a special sense of gratitude. Maybe these Israelites just took it for granted he owed it to them because they were Israelites. There's a kind of a strong sense of loyalty among those people, and they thought to take it for granted that another Israelite may owe them something. Wonderful people, those Jewish folks, but they've got some psychological approaches that are quite different from Gentile approach sometimes. It may be that this fellow thought, well, now he didn't have to do it for me. I was a Samaritan. Of course, we know that God's grace and mercy extends to all. But it's the obedience that brought the blessing. And as they went, they were healed. Young folks, if you want the blessing from God, don't just stand off and say, Lord, give me. You say, all right, Lord, what do I do? And God gives the blessing. Shall we pray? Our Father, we pray that you give us the gift of grateful hearts. May we never receive blessing from thy hand and then deny thee the word of thanks due to the giver of the blessing. Help us, Lord, as we think on this story, to realize that the blessing always comes in obedience, and without obedience there can be no blessing. And that to obey is better than sacrifice. And obedience, after all, is more pleasing to God even than thanks.
We hope you've enjoyed and been blessed by today's message on the Chancellor's Program. The late Dr. Bob Jones, Jr. delivered this sermon, Obedience Brings the Blessing, on May 9, 1960. Listen at this time next week for the Chancellor's Program, sponsored by Bob Jones University.